Mass. The introit, which is taken from the Book of Exodus, is addressed to the church's newborn children. It reminds them of the milk and honey which were given to them on the night of Saturday last, after they had received Holy Communion. They are true Israelites, brought into the Promised Land. Let them, therefore, praise the Lord, who has chosen them from the pagan world, that he might make them his favored people. Introit. The Lord hath brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Alleluia. Let then the law of the Lord be ever in your mouth. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise the Lord and call upon his name. Publish his works among the Gentiles. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. At the sight of Jesus, her spouse, now freed from the bonds of death, Holy Church prays God that we, the members of this divine head, may come to that perfect liberty of which the resurrection is the type. Our long slavery to sin should have taught us the worth of that liberty of the children of God, which our Pasch has restored to us. Collect. O God, who by the mystery of the Paschal solemnity hast bestowed remedies on the world, continue, we beseech thee, thy heavenly blessings on thy people, that they may deserve to obtain perfect liberty and advance towards eternal life. Epistle. Lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, Chapter 10. In those days, Peter, standing up in the midst of the people, said, "You know the word that hath been published through all Judea, for it began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things that he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed, hanging him upon a tree. Him God raised up the third day, and gave him to be made manifest, not to all the people, but to witnesses preordained by God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose again from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people, and to testify that it is he who was appointed by God to be judge of the living and of the dead. To him all the prophets give testimony, that through his name all receive remission of sins who believe in him." Saint Peter spoke these words to Cornelius, the centurion, and to the household and friends of this Gentile, who had called them together to receive the apostle whom God had sent to him. He had come to prepare them for baptism, and thus make them the first fruits of the Gentile world. For up to this time, the gospel had been preached only to the Jews. Let us take notice how it is Saint Peter, and not any other of the apostles, who throws open to us Gentiles the door of the church, which Christ has built upon him as upon the impregnable rock. This passage from the Acts of the Apostles is an appropriate lesson for this day, whose station is in the Basilica of St. Peter. It is read near the confession of the great apostle, and in the presence of the neophytes, who have been converted from the worship of false gods to the true faith. Let us observe, too, the method used by the apostle in the conversion of Cornelius and the other Gentiles. He begins by speaking to them concerning Jesus. He tells them of the miracles he wrought. Then, having related how he died the ignominious death of the cross, he insists on the fact of the resurrection as the sure guarantee of his being truly God. He then instructs them on the mission of the apostles, whose testimony must be received, a testimony which carries persuasion with it, seeing it was most disinterested and availed them nothing save persecution. He, therefore, that believes in the Son of God made flesh, who went about doing good, working all kinds of miracles, who died upon the cross, rose again from the dead, and entrusted to certain men chosen by himself the mission of continuing on earth the ministry he had begun, he that confesses all this is worthy to receive, by holy baptism, the remission of his sins. Such is the happy lot of Cornelius and his companions. Such has been that of our neophytes. Then is sung the gradual, which repeats the expression of paschal joy. The verse, however, is different from yesterday's, and will vary every day till Friday. The Alleluia verse describes the angel coming down from heaven, that he may open the empty sepulchre and manifest the self-gained victory of the Redeemer. Gradual. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice therein. Let Israel now say that the Lord is good, that his mercy endureth forever. Alleluia, alleluia. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and coming he rolled back the stone and sat upon it. Sequence. Let Christians offer to the paschal victim the sacrifice of praise. The Lamb hath redeemed the sheep. The innocent Jesus hath reconciled sinners to his Father. Death and life fought against each other, and wondrous was the duel. The King of life was put to death, yet now he lives and reigns. Tell us, O Mary, what sawest thou on the way? I saw the sepulchre of the living Christ. I saw the glory of him that had risen. I saw the angels that were the witnesses. I saw the winding sheet and the cloth. Christ, my hope, hath risen. He shall go before you into Galilee. We know that Christ hath truly risen from the dead. Do thou, O conqueror and king, have mercy upon us. Amen. Alleluia. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24. At that time, two of the disciples of Jesus went the same day to a town, which was 60 furlongs from Jerusalem, named Emmaus. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they talked and reasoned with themselves, Jesus himself also drawing near, went with them. But their eyes were held, that they should not know him. And he said to them, What are these discourses that you hold one with another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said to him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that have been done there in these days? To whom he said, What things? And they said, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in work and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and princes delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we hoped that it was he that should have redeemed Israel. And now, besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company affrighted us, who before it was light were at the sepulchre, and not finding his body, came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, who say that he is alive. And some of our people went to the sepulchre, and found it so as the women had said, but him they found not. Then he said to them, O foolish and slow of heart to believe in all things which the prophets have spoken! Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and so to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things that were concerning him. And they drew nigh to the town whither they were going, and he made as though he would go farther. But they constrained him, saying, Stay with us, because it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. And he went in with them. And it came to pass, whilst he was at table with them, he took bread, and blessed, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to the other, Was not our heart burning within us, whilst he spoke in the way, and opened to us the Scriptures? And rising up the same hour, they went back to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together, and those that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how they knew him in the breaking of bread. Let us attentively consider these three travelers on the road to Emmaus, and go with them in spirit and affection. Two of them are frail men like ourselves, who are afraid of suffering. The cross has disconcerted them. They cannot persevere in the faith, unless they find it brings them glory and success. O foolish and slow of heart, says the third, ought not Christ to have suffered, and so to enter into his glory? Hitherto, we ourselves have been like these two disciples. Our sentiments have been more those of the Jew than of the Christian. Hence our love of earthly things, which has made us heedless of such as are heavenly, and has thereby exposed us to sin. We cannot, for the time to come, be thus minded. The glorious resurrection of our Jesus eloquently teaches us how to look upon the crosses sent us by God. However great may be our future trials, we are not likely to be nailed to a cross between two thieves. It is what the Son of God had to undergo, but did the sufferings of the Friday mar the kingly splendor of the Sunday's triumph? Nay, is not his present glory redoubled by his past humiliations? Therefore, let us not be cowards when our time for sacrifice comes. Let us think of the eternal reward that is to follow. These two disciples did not know that it was Jesus who was speaking to them. And yet, he no sooner explained to them the plan of God's wisdom and goodness than they understood the mystery of suffering. Their hearts burned within them at hearing him explain how the cross leads to the crown. And had he not held their eyes that they should not know him, they would have discovered from his words that their instructor was Jesus. So will it be with us, if we will allow him to speak to us. We shall understand how, quote, the disciple is not above the master, end quote, footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 24. Let us this Easter delight in gazing at the resplendent glory of our risen Lord, and we shall exclaim with the Apostle, No, quote, the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that shall be revealed in us. End quote. Footnote, Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Now that the efforts made by the Christians for his conversion are being recompensed with the honor of approaching the holy banquet, clothed in the nuptial garment, there is another consideration that forces itself upon our attention from the reading of today's gospel. It was during the breaking of the bread that the eyes of the two disciples were opened to recognize their master. The sacred food which we receive, and whose whole virtue comes from the word of Christ, gives light to our souls and enables them to see what before was hidden. Yes, this is the effect produced in us by the divine mystery of our Pasch, provided we be of the number of those who are thus described by the pious author of The Imitation of Christ. Quote, they truly know their Lord in the breaking of bread, whose heart burneth so mightily within them from Jesus walking with them. End quote. Footnote, Book 4, Chapter 14. Let us, therefore, give ourselves unreservedly to our risen Jesus. We belong to him now more than ever, not only because of his having died, but also for his having risen for us. Let us imitate the disciples of Emmaus, and, like them, become faithful, joyful, and eager to show forth by our conduct that newness of life of which the Apostle speaks, footnote, Romans chapter 6, verse 4, and which alone befits us, seeing that Christ has so loved us as to wish his own resurrection to be ours also. The reason for the choice of this gospel for today is that the station is held in the Basilica of St. Peter. St. Luke here tells us that the two disciples found the apostles already made cognizant of the resurrection of their master. "He hath," said they, "appeared to Simon." We spoke yesterday of the favor thus shown to the Prince of the Apostles, which the Roman Church so justly commemorates in today's office. The offertory consists of a text from the Holy Gospel, referring to the circumstances of our Lord's resurrection. Offertory. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven and said to the women, "He whom you seek is risen as he told you. Alleluia." In the secret, the Church prays that the Paschal Sacrament may be to her children a food nourishing them to immortality, and may unite them as members to their divine head, not only for time, but even for eternity. Secret. Receive, O Lord, we beseech thee, the prayers of thy people, together with the offerings of these hosts, that what is consecrated by these paschal mysteries may, by the help of thy grace, avail us to eternal life. During the communion, the Church reminds the faithful of the visit paid by the Savior, after his resurrection, to St. Peter. The faith of the resurrection is the faith of Peter, and the faith of Peter is the foundation of the Church and the bond of Catholic unity. Communion. The Lord hath risen and appeared to Peter. Alleluia. In the post-communion, the Church again prays that her children, who have been fellow guests at the Feast of the Lamb, may have that spirit of concord which should reign among the members of one and the same family, whose union has been again cemented by this year's Pasch. Post-communion. Pour forth on us, O Lord, the spirit of thy love, that those whom thou hast filled with the Paschal Sacrament may by thy goodness live in perfect concord.